today, we're going to be telling you the story of the iconic switch snap.
Oh, we didn't. That was a good one.
We didn't even practice that.
That was great.
That was like on a whim. Good
Take
job.
One.
Take one. And we're going to be deciding which 3D Mario games Astro Bot is better
oh,
than.
Oh, no.
Ah!
Blasphemy alert.
I feel a little...
Oh, got the heebie-jeebies
there. A little dirty. Just saying that out loud, a little dirty. Oh, no.
It's a special Black Friday episode for us.
Yes.
You know, we usually put these out on Thursday. That's Thanksgiving.
And, right. You know, for those of you who live in the U.S.
Yeah, so, you know, people are tied up on Thanksgiving on a big
holiday. We might be tied up eating turkey.
So just sit on this episode for another day, put it out when people are out and about doing their shopping, want something to listen to.
That's right. Maybe you're, like, out of your turkey coma now and you have life back and you can focus and listen to a podcast. Why not?
You ever done a Black Friday?
Like a shopping?
Like a big stand in line. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that seems so unlike you.
That used to be such like a thing that my friends and I did when we were in high school.
Oh.
The best. This is so lame. This was back in the day, guys, when malls were still really popular, and then they would open the mall.
More pager talk amongst your friends in the lines?
No. This is beyond pagers. This is like when I was like later in high school, where I actually had a little bit of spending money.
Wham.
Yeah. You know, working that part-time job, right?
All right.
So they would do this thing at the mall, and they would open the mall at midnight on Thursday night. So the idea was we would all have Thanksgiving dinner with our families and stuff, and then like you would sort of take a little nap, and then you would wake up on, you know, at midnight on Thursday and go to the mall, because that's like a crazy thing for it to be open at that hour. And you would just like shop, and it was a little.
But did you get anything amazing?
Like, there was definitely like a frenzy, you know. For
you're a high trampling risk because you're small.
I'm very small.
Very easily to be trampled. Trod upon.
Yeah, I remember that we really did a lot of Christmas shopping, and that one day we would kind of do all of the Christmas shopping. So you would get all your, like if you wanted like some sort of like high end, you know, gift, especially like at the Best Buy. There was a Best Buy there. Remember we would go there to get like cameras or you know, video game stuff.
A bright yellow Sony Walkman is probably what was on
I was
going to
say
list.
A Discman was on one of my lists. For my mom got that for me for Christmas one year. That was pretty good. I remember this thing that they used to do at Bath and Body Works. This is, again, so very lame. But on Black Friday, they would have buy one, get one free on these, like, holiday candles. And that was, like, the most, like, Bath and Body Works launching
the new... You knock somebody out for a candle?
New holiday candle scents are coming. What are they? What does a label look... That was a huge deal.
And this was you as a high schooler?
This is me in, like, high school. Yeah,
college. You were staying awake all night, tossing and turning. Oh, it's a candle. The candle. The scented candles.
So many YouTube videos, too. Like, haul videos were really popular at that time. And that was, like, the hottest thing. Was, like, the Bath and Body Works holiday collection candles.
Okay.
For those of you that remember this, maybe none of you, you remember this craze. And I had so many of those candles. It was ridiculous.
I can't say I've had a great Black Friday experience, but I do. My mom has told me just like harrowing tales of shopping for like kids' Christmas presents.
Oh.
And I remember her saying for my sister, who is a couple years older than me,
right,
Cabbage Patch Kids were like one of those like gotta have it things.
That's like the classic.
And she was like, I saw people like literally fighting in like the toy stores and like the Toys R Us. Or the KB, like rest in peace to all these amazing stores.
Yeah.
But like these like grannies and moms were just like
just
straight
like
up
slamming someone with a purse.
Yes.
Poking someone with a she was trying to get.
I mean, maybe she did this herself. Maybe she was cracking some skulls.
I can see her like popping her knuckles and just like bam,
drop kicking somebody in an
aisle.
For a Cabbage Patch Kid. So yeah.
Yeah. What is? I guess like there's always like one hot toy trend of the year. I guess, and this I was asking producer Stephanie what the hot toy trend was, and she was telling me it was like the surprise box like
for the 20th year straight. It's Furby and Tickle Me Elbows.
Is it still? No,
I think Furby's probably still around and kicking. Now you just do it all online. We've gone soft.
I do it all
you don't
online.
Have to punch anybody to get something. You just click.
You punch a checkout button.
You punch
you
your phone.
Slam that Amazon
like,
checkout
slam,
button.
Yeah. Slam subscribe, slam like, slam buy. Yes. Do
slam,
all these things.
Slam checkout.
We have
add
a great,
to cart.
We have a great video that is up now. on our YouTube channel where we've documented a full week, 5 days.
Yes.
In our lives as full-time content creators. Maybe you're interested.
You will see the behind the scenes, what actually happens.
The drama.
The drama. The emotional breakdowns, all the things that
there's a scene
in
there where you had an a mental break because of the performance of last week's podcast, which is a weekly occurrence. So I'm used to this. I know how to deal with it, and I'm glad to report back days later now that I was right. That podcast is doing great as they always do.
Podcast is doing great.
So, but you can watch you go through this.
Every week is the same.
Emotional turmoil.
It's emotional. It's very. This is a very emotional job because it's very personal.
It's true. It's true. It's you. You're putting yourself out.
You're putting yourself. It's so different than like a corporate job where like, yes, it's annoying to when something doesn't go right.
I did the spreadsheet.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, it's like at some point you can say to yourself, like, this is not my business. Like, I don't really care.
I'm one of thousands.
I can wash my hands. I did the best I could. But this job is like, you're doing the best you can and everything hinges on you doing that thing. And it sometimes is not up to you if it's good or not.
So. They could all disappear in the flash of an eye.
Flash.
We're snapping.
Oh, that was a good snap too.
In that video, you can also see we have a very detailed a tour of our studio.
I know, right?
Slash offices in the other room.
Yes.
You can see that in great detail.
Yeah, we realized that the first look that you guys had was the week that we moved in
literally
here.
Literally right when we moved in.
And now we've been in here for about a year, a little over a year. We've actually are going to be staying here for another couple of years. So we're very happy with the space. And now it's like very full. You know, it feels like it's like lived in now, which is kind of nice. And so we give you a full updated tour, which is fun.
Also around this weekend, we're going to be getting out our big Super Mario Brothers movie spoiler cast.
We're pointing
that's
at the
out.
Box of the movie.
That was so fun to do. And this one is a little different because we did the whole spoiler cast podcast, but we also have a full-length movie commentary by you and I.
Yes.
That you get when you get the spoiler cast, you get the podcast and you get the watch along. So it's going to be like a
really long video.
It's like a 3.5 hour. I forget exactly how long, but it's
a ridiculously long file.
Gigantic, but you get them
both. You don't have to watch them both.
You get them both.
Do one or the other or both.
But why wouldn't you?
I'm just saying, like you all have your, you can do whatever you want.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, I would.
Oh. All right.
I don't know about everybody else.
Yes. But that was very fun to do. We had a definitive feeling vibe off of this movie that we'd never seen before.
Right. We really did.
So if you're curious about what that is or all the things that we had to say about it, there was a lot to say.
Yes.
A lot of things that needed to get off of
our chest. I can't believe that I've watched this movie 3 times now, honestly.
And now we have the great Blu-ray from our Patreon subscriber, Ryan Haas.
Yeah.
Leader of the Super Mario Brothers movie community.
Right.
There's many more viewings. There's so many commentaries on there in my future.
And then like the scripts, you can read the scripts and stuff and look at all the behind the scenes.
We need to do our dramatic reenactment of some scripts.
Oh, we really should.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
If only there was a potential guest that you have been dragging your feet on securing.
Oh, I know.
That we could do this dramatic reading.
Oh my gosh.
Do you see? Do it.
I can totally
do it.
That's a great idea.
You've been saying this. Oh, this person's going to come on in any week now. And it's like, what? Oh, well,
I
have to talk to them. Yes.
No, I have.
Now you really do. I'm putting you out there to the world.
That's a really good idea, though. I think this person would be super.
Well, I'm full
into
of those.
That. Super into that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll definitely have to do that.
Okay.
It is Black Friday.
Since it is Black Friday, we have the very first Kit and Krista Black Friday sale.
We are on sale. Just kidding. No, we're not.
It is happening. It is for all of our merch.
It
and
is.
There are some exciting things happening.
Yes.
We have brought back the two merch lines that
one
we have done, including this one. This is part of the Alzonda line.
Yes.
We also have the line by Frulio.
Yes.
Those were out for 3 months and then they went away.
Into the vault.
And they are back now.
For a very limited time.
For a limited time.
Yes.
You can get those, and you can also get them for 20% off.
Wow.
Including all of the, like, oh, you know, the stuff that's always available.
Right.
And
wow.
In addition to all of that stuff that's brought back, the stuff that's on sale, we are also debuting our new merch line. This is not on sale. I need to be clear. This is not on sale.
Too good.
It's brand spanking new.
Too good.
Featuring new original artwork.
Yes.
By incredible industry icon.
Yeah.
David Hellman.
Can you believe it, you guys?
Wow.
Can you believe that David Hellman?
This is a huge wow. We're going to debut the artwork here. This is your mental note. People have gotten very cross with you for not including the images.
Sorry.
Have you read the comments to the last podcast? So many people said, where's the picture? Where's the picture?
I didn't own that image.
Don't upset David Hellman.
Plug, I didn't own that image. I do own this one.
Plug his... I don't own that image.
You were supposed to send me a photo of those little Pokemon, whatever, the Rumbles. You didn't send that
to
me.
Those are available online plentifully. Anyways, I love this artwork. Look at it. It's you and I.
It is so good. He is incredible. His style is so unique and so much fun. Yeah. We basically kind of let him cook on this, and his idea was to do sort of like a game, like a fictitious game box. So we came up with this fictitious, maybe this will be a real game one day, who knows? But it's called Christmas Quest 2.
Did you play
Christmas Quest 1? Bet you didn't. And David Hellman had a great thought. Like at first he was like, I kind of want this to be like a buddy game, like you and Kit. And then he's like, but as I was drawing, Kit just became the villain and you became the hero. And I was like, really? I wonder how that happened. Anyhow, but that is how it ended up, you becoming this evil sorceress kind of villain on this game box, which is so cool. But this is going to be available all sorts of ways. Check out the site. You can see it on posters, notebooks, t-shirts, sweatshirts. But we're so excited to, be able to partner with David Hellman. He's absolutely an industry icon and we're so honored.
Artist for Braid, artist for Arranger, so many other great things. Part of our community. I still don't know how that happened.
Again, the Kit and Krista community is a marvelous, incredible, magical place.
Right. Look at this art. I'm so curious about this round fella in the bottom left writing this crocodile thing.
I like the pig that I'm holding.
What is it? There's a lot of little details in here.
There's a little pig that I'm holding I'm very into this tiny pig. It's very cute. And David Hellman's got your new hair.
He does.
Just right.
Yes.
I love that.
It's wonderful.
It's the first debut of Kit's new hair in art form.
It's perfect. Yes. Check it out. This is another limited time drop for us. So get it whilst you can.
While you can.
Yes.
Exactly.
Incredible stuff. Okay, this is the big Black Friday episode. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We're kind of changing up the order of this episode.
Yeah.
You know, we're so thankful for our Patreon community. We're going to start with the questions because we got some really provocative questions from them that we don't want to dilly-dally on any further. So we're going to get to those in just a second. But first, we got to shout out our sponsor for today. This podcast is sponsored by Uncommon Goods.
Wow.
Uncommon Goods sponsorship on Black Friday?
Whoa.
Can you believe it?
Get it.
Spark
get your
something
shopping done.
Uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods.
Again, I have been shopping. I think that my entire Christmas list I did on Uncommon Goods this year.
Oh.
On, like 100% bought every gift from Uncommon Goods, which is shocking. I don't have too many people that I buy gifts for, but the people that I do have in my life, it's hard to shop for them because I've known them for so long.
Sure.
They're also the type of people that, like, if they want something, they'll just get it for themselves. You know, they're very like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'm not gonna wait around for Christmas and see if someone buys it for me. So it is a little bit difficult to like find something unique, but that is what is so amazing about Uncommon Goods is because they have so many like really unique gifts I have never seen before. So many fun things from like small businesses and local artisans and very unique one-of-a-kind stuff. So it is like for that person that's really, really hard to shop for because they just keep buying everything for themselves, this is the place to go.
Yeah. And I really like how many things you can customize there.
Yeah.
That's like the sign, you know, it's not just, oh, I got you this thing. I got it off the shelf. It's one of millions.
Right.
It's like, no, this is made, tailored for you. It shows that you put a little bit of effort.
Some thought.
Into it.
Yeah.
And I talked last time about those great Christmas ornaments where you can add like somebody's name to the design. It gets integrated in this really artistic
way.
But they also have these other great things where it's like, oh, you know, do you know where this person went to college?
Yeah, they have a lot of those.
You can get something that's customized. It's more than just like the logo. It's like, oh, here's like the college town or talking about something
like
that.
Or like a map of their hometown.
Exactly.
Or
like you can really like zoom in on like, no, look, you're sending a message when you're sending it. It's like, look, I know you.
I thought about you.
Here's this special thing that I'm going to give you.
Totally.
So I appreciate how much kind of stuff you can customize and give to somebody.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah, and the stuff is super well made. Really things like that you're not finding other places.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, aha, how come nobody ever thought of that? Only Uncommon Goods seems to have that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, fantastic stuff. So get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/kitkrista. That's uncommongoods.com/kitkrista for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we are all out of the ordinary.
I'll put the link right over here as well as the QR code for you to scan and also in the description below. It's not too late to finish that Christmas shopping, guys.
All right, so like we said, we're going to start with the questions because we got this great question that we wanted to address at the top. This question's from Frulio. Frulio of
the Frulio art, merch line.
Artwork fame that we prolific. Just mentioned. Speaking of, Frulio has been on an epic questions run.
His questions are good.
But there have been so many good questions from Frulio in the true. Last, I have like a backlog of Frulio questions.
Well, maybe it should be all Frulio episodes.
Oh my gosh. We'll spread them out. But anyway, the question is, ever since Nintendo moved into the Switch era, the finger snap has become a mainstay in all Nintendo Directs. How did the idea of the finger snap come about, and were lengthy discussions required, or was it a unanimous decision? Was there any choreography or specific training involved for presenters to perfect the timing, angle, and delivery of the snap? And here we have, obviously, the picture of Mr. Takahashi doing it in a Nintendo Direct.
Yes.
But I remember this very clearly, which was that big day that we were up in Redmond, and they were showing us the Switch for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we got to play all those games, and that was like an all-day affair.
Yeah.
And after, we had gone hands-on with the system, heard the Treehouse explaining every small detail about it, our head of marketing took us aside and was like, hey, I actually have like some branding for this thing that we've been working on in the background for many, many months, and I want to show it to you all. Mm-hmm. And it obviously was the Switch logo, all of the different kind of visuals. Yep. I think he had like a package that they had already.
This is where it became the Red Forward branding.
Exactly. Ready to go. And he's like, we also have this other really amazing thing, which is this like animated logo.
Yeah.
And it was, the thing where the Joy-Con
like snaps falls into the place, logo.
And it had the snap
sound
built into it. So like from day one, as they were thinking through the branding of this, that snap was like integral to the whole thing.
True. And I remember that was a day when they not only did, we like play games on the Switch, but they were like really encouraging you to like dock it, undock it, take the Joy-Cons off, put it back on, like put it in all the different modes, like really like touch and feel the system. And it was like our first time like really holding it and everything. And I think we both had the same, realization that day that this is such a cool piece of hardware. Like sometimes you get a first gen of a piece of hardware, you're like, oh, it's a little rough.
Especially a Nintendo hardware.
Like a DS Fat, for example. You're like, ooh, a little rough. Like I can see how this could be the first iteration and it can be improved upon. But that was not our impression when we held that Switch for the first time. We're like, oh man, this like truly feels like so slick, so futuristic. And there was this moment where everybody was like popping the Joy-Cons in and out where it was making that like that snap sound. And so we were all kind of like already feeling that when we were touching the system. So when we saw that animated logo with the sound effect, it like all just clicked. Like it, not a pun, but like it literally all just felt like, oh, this like fits so well together. So that sound effect, that like sort of end card that you now see on basically every Switch trailer, every Nintendo thing was there from the very beginning. And then I spent a lot of time with Mr. Koizumi.
Yes.
Who was the head of Switch development. And I kind of like was his PR person and was shepherding him around this like really long, and Mr. Takahashi as well, but mainly Mr. Koizumi and I were like really like connected at the hip because I was doing this long like 2-week media tour with him. We were like all over the country. We did so many things together. And later on that year, I worked with him on Odyssey. So I was just like osmosis Mr. Koizumi. And they called him PR magic. There was this thing that he was doing. It was weird, but I kind of liked it. Like he started to put on this sort of almost like a persona a little bit, but he was like so good at like taking the Joy-Cons on and off and doing the Switch snap. Like this, there is some sort of like magician sleight of hand quality to how he was talking about the Switch and holding
it. He'd been practicing.
And he was practicing the mirror, I think, like for like years before this. But they literally called him PR magic. And he had this like jacket that he would wear.
And that was also called PR magic.
It was also PR magic. And like every single time he would kind of break out into Mr. Koizumi the magician, he had to put the jacket on and he would do the fancy thing with the Joy-Cons and he would do the snap. It became like a whole thing. And for that entire year, everything that we did with him, all of the things that we like, you know, had videos of him on when we were at the Game Awards and he was, you know, we were nominated for Game of the Year Award for Odyssey. It was just like this persona. And like, I feel like the Switch snap really became integrated from that, like, PR Magic Tour. Mm. And then everybody just started to like do it. Like we were trying to copy him because he was so cool. And then now in the directs, you see Mr. Takahashi doing it. Like everybody did it, you know? And it just became like a thing
because
he was just like so cool. It really did feel like, I don't know, there's something truly like magical about it because then everybody started to like try to emulate him a little bit, which was really fun.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think of yourself taking off or putting on a Joy-Con, it's like there's a lot of like small parts. It's like you're bumbling around. Yeah. You can't get it right the first time, but he could do it every time. It's like bam,
slick.
In off, bam, bam, bam. Watch this.
It was so slick.
Like it was really impressive. Like a magician.
Truly
like him
sleight
doing
of hand.
Some sort of a trick. Like watch it shoot out of my sleeve and onto the Switch.
Exactly. I was expecting like doves to fly out at one point. Cause I was like, this is kind of cool.
And remember, even in the Switch itself, at the system level, when you put a Joy-Con in, yes, it kind of makes a clicky sound.
But it also has a built-in sound.
It's a sound effect of that snap. And it was such a phenomenon that I, in my job of, you know, social and original content, I pitched this idea of like, let's just go around the Nintendo offices and ask people to do the Switch snap.
Yeah.
That'd be like a fun little way to like show like, oh yeah, Nintendo loves the Switch too. You know, it's this fun thing that people are interested in. And that was yet another one of my ideas that got completely...
I liked it.
Like why would anyone
care about
this? Why would anybody ever care about that?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fine.
Fine,
we won't.
Never mind.
Fine, we won't.
Fine, whatever. Be boring. It's fine. Yeah, but it is... there never was, like, specific training or anything, but it was just everyone trying to be like Mr. Koizumi.
See, this version of Mr. Takahashi doing it, I don't think this is accurate because the way you actually get it, you have to do one snap right after the other. There, that was a good one.
Those are great.
See, we're well practiced. You can't do that with one hand.
You gotta pick up the other hand, Mr. Takahashi.
Do it.
Those four were 10 out of 10s.
Do it right.
But yes, you have to do it with both hands. But yes, there was never like we got choreographed this or anything. It kind of, you know, was a brand identity from the very beginning and then really brought to life by Mr. Koizumi. And then it became like everybody, let's like emulate this fun thing that he was doing.
Right.
And then it became like a mainstay, I think. I hope that they keep this for Switch 2. If it's magnets, maybe it won't snap.
Magnets.
What do you guys think?
It's a robot snapping. Magnet fingers.
Magnet fingers.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it only works because it has like that little part where it slides and clicks. So if it's a different kind of sound, I don't know if they're gonna. Ooh, the Switch snap might be in danger.
I'm getting worried now.
Gen 2, we'll see.
I'm getting worried.
Yeah. Wow.
Our next question is this blasphemous question from Kai X.
Oh, God.
Astrobot took the gaming world by storm with its charming visuals and top-tier gameplay. Here's the big question. How does it hold up to the Master Mario? Where does it fall in your Mario ranking list? So I've gone ahead and written down every 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
And you and I, we're going to go one by one and say, is Astrobot better than this game?
Okay.
This is what we're going to do.
Oh, no.
Super Mario 64. We're going to go chronological order.
I think it's better. Astrobot is better.
So this game, I think, like, you had to be there. Like, if you grew up with Mario 64 like I did, like, I would say that game is superior to Astrobot, but I completely understand why if you are a bit younger and you are like, this game's clunky.
I didn't play this game until I was like, it was like 2 years ago.
So I think this is like a generation gap.
So
for me,
no,
Mario 64 is better.
Yeah, because you grew up playing this game for years.
But I totally understand the opposite point of view. Super Mario Sunshine.
Astrobot is a million times better. I know you guys are going to come after us.
Are they really?
We don't like Sunshine. No. You don't like
Guess
us.
Guess what? Most people don't.
We have bad taste in games, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Astrobot is better than Mario Sunshine.
Yes. Super Mario Galaxy.
No.
Now, this is a challenging one.
I don't think it is.
So Galaxy is better.
Galaxy is better. I think Galaxy has a better, like, I mean, actually, AstroBot has a lot of similarities to Galaxy.
Right. These next couple games are a lot
of similarities. Yeah, there is some similarities, but I would say Galaxy was the originators of that style and vibe and just had, like, more inventive gameplay, I would say. Gravity, like, I really liked all that stuff.
Do you prefer Galaxy 1 or 2?
Galaxy 2.
You prefer Galaxy 2?
I do.
I do as well.
Because Yoshi.
And
I love Yoshi.
I'm going to say that AstroBot is better than the original Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes.
You just said the opposite. AstroBot is better.
I think Galaxy...
You think Galaxy 1 is better.
The first and the second Galaxy, I do think those games are better than AstroBot.
I think AstroBot is better than Galaxy 1, not better than Galaxy 2.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, something about Galaxy 1 that I didn't click with it the same way a lot of people did, but Galaxy 2 I think is just like a big step up in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I think also like looking, you know, it was so made for all that pointer stuff, like has not held up well over the years.
That's right.
That stuff you need the Wii for, the waggling and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I just go with AstroBot for Galaxy over Galaxy 1, but not Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS.
Mm, I think AstroBot's better than 3D
Land. I agree.
3D Land's a little bland. Out of all the 3D Mario games, I wouldn't say that one is the most sort of.
Just a smaller in scope game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a handheld game versus a big, you know,
sure.
PS5
but
game.
But not even that. It's just
a tough comparison.
I remember feeling just it was a little bit like been there, done that.
I think you should go back. This is of all the games, this is the game that's gotten the bad rap over the years of Mario 3D games.
Have I not?
People were so in love with Super Mario 3D Land when it first came out.
Mm.
And it's like 3D World is kind of a bigger, better version of that that game has kind of been forgotten.
Yeah.
But I think AstroBot is better.
I think AstroBot's better, too.
Now, Super Mario 3D World.
I think 3D World is better
than
AstroBot.
This is one that I really had a hard time with.
Really?
And I still don't know, actually, where I land. I think this is, like, the closest comparison to what AstroBot is.
Right,
these kind of, like, self-contained levels.
Worlds and levels.
That will often have kind of, like, you know, a central gameplay thing that you're doing. World has the multiplayer going for it, which is positive.
Very positive. World has the charm of World is so high. Like it's just there's so much like I don't know, there's like a happiness and like I mean AstroBot has that too, but
I don't know if it's a cop out for me to say that. I'm gonna say it's a tie. Because I've been thinking about this for days and I literally cannot decide. So I'm gonna say it's a tie.
I do think World has a little bit of an edge over AstroBot, but it's very close. And I agree with you that those two are probably if you're comparing AstroBot to a 3D Mario game, that is probably the closest comparison.
Yeah. I have a hard time with that.
And they do have a lot of sort of like AstroBot's really good at this, but 3D World's really good at that. And but AstroBot has this going for it, and then 3D World has this going for it. It's got a lot of kind of tug of war there, but there's something about the charm of 3D World that maybe it's the cats. I don't know. I just can't get over it. I think it's just
There's also like there's all the like post game stuff that really ramps up the challenge
and the controls are so tight on that game. It's just so slick.
AstroBot has other like side stuff that is challenging in its own right, but I don't feel like it's as much of a game as the I just can't decide.
You can't decide.
I can't decide. Super Mario Odyssey.
Odyssey's better.
Odyssey is better.
Odyssey is better. Come on.
I think by a pretty large margin.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, all those worlds are so big. There's so many things you can do. There's all the Cappy stuff.
The Cappy mechanics are next level.
The truly
amazing.
Advanced, like, pro gamer, super player, Cappy mechanics.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing in AstroBot that even...
Comes close to that at all. Yeah. And then I just feel like the exploration and the sort of the vastness of Odyssey was really unmatched.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then lastly, I don't know if this is appropriate to compare, but Bowser's Fury.
Yeah.
Not really a full-on,
full-size
game.
Envision that this game gets expanded into a full-size game.
I do think the next Mario game is going to take a lot from Bowser's Fury.
Yeah.
And I like Bowser's Fury a lot.
I do too. But I still think AstroBot's better. Yeah. Bowser's Fury, even if I, you know, kind of expand that game in my head into a full game, The concepts of it is still quite linear and pretty small in scope of like...
Bowser's Fury?
Yeah.
I think you need to go back and play that one,
too. Yeah, you're doing some stuff, and then you do the kaiju battles. Like, it's sort of like a very, like, cyclical gameplay loop. And that's fine. I think it was a very fun gameplay loop.
But don't you think if the scope of that game was bigger, they would have introduced a little bit more than that? Than the Big Bowser? I think they would.
It's hard to imagine what it would be. I imagine it'd be like, you know, just more of the same, but with different levels and different challenges. So,
well, that's called a video game.
if we're looking at it like that, then I think Astro Bot's still better because it has more.
I am going to say, strictly due to the scope, Astro Bot is better than Bowser's Fury. I think if they had built Bowser's Fury into a full size game, mm-hmm. like the way in my mind I see them scaling that,
yeah,
that could have really gone toe to toe and been better, but it's not. It's a smaller game.
Yeah.
So we just said that about half of these games,
50%, I think Astrobot is better.
Is better than it. Is that surprising to you?
It's not, actually.
No.
It's not. Because when I played Astrobot, I immediately already had that sense. Like, oh, wow, this can go toe-to-toe with many Mario 3D Mario games.
No more of these baby games. We got Astrobot now.
That's right.
Yeah.
We got Astrobot.
Now, we are doing our game. I don't want you to spoil anything, but we're doing our Game of the Year podcast in a few weeks. Is this going to, doing this evaluation going to change the way that you view Astrobot?
I don't think so.
Seems like Astrobot's a shoo-in to be, you know, somewhere on that list.
Yeah,
But just having this context of like, wait, it's better than all these classic Mario games?
Hey,
maybe I have to give it fill in the blank spot.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to. Maybe I don't have a choice.
That is a good way to evaluate it, honestly, because you need to give it context. But also context into all the other games you play this year, right? So, yeah. But Astrobot is 100% one of the best games I played this year. So it will end up, I'm sure,
somewhere on that
Game of the Year list. So,
okay.
Yeah. Wow. Astrobot. I actually went back to Astrobot and played a little bit more this weekend.
Yeah?
Did some new levels and some of the more challenging speedrun things. I hadn't gone back since I beat the game. So it's fresh in my mind.
Next question's from Doinko. Back when I went deep in to pull this one. This is over a year and a half old, this question. Back from when Doinko was not in the 1UP Club yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Doinko.
Just baby Doinko.
A baby.
And the question is, hypothetical, your uncle works at Nintendo, nay, runs Nintendo, Uncle Furukawa.
Oh.
He offers you each 3 tell-all answers to any question you have. What do you ask and why?
Oh my gosh. 3?
3.
Are you really the guy that runs Nintendo? Really? 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 That's the end of the question. Let's see. I would like to know like the 20-year plan.
Oh,
okay. Give me a summary of like where is this company going?
I thought you wanted to be surprised though.
Well, I guess this is if I was still working there. Is this where I'm still working there? No,
it doesn't matter. Okay.
I thought that we still work there.
No.
Oh, then I don't want to know. Never mind. I do want to be surprised. Never mind. Then I don't want to ask that. I would like to know.
I'd like to know, again, the one big thing about, you know, how Nintendo makes games that we never got really any insight into is the budgets. I really would like to know.
Oh, you want to know the budgets?
I want to know some budgets for these games.
You want because some figures and numbers?
I think our assumption is, like, these are significantly less expensive to make
than the
comparative games
on
an Xbox or on a PlayStation.
Mm, okay.
But that's never really been confirmed or verified. And I also be curious, like, over, you know, the last couple generations, like, how has that budget curve been changing?
Okay.
Because who knows? These things could be escalating, like, really fast, and we don't necessarily know that. Like, I'm sure, I mean, Tears of the Kingdom, seven years on a big game like that wasn't cheap.
Right.
And they do have games that are smaller that are big hits where they're, you know, clearly just raking in profit. But Nintendo's not immune to what is happening in the industry.
That's true, yeah.
Especially as things get more powerful. So that was just always something that, you know, I don't think a lot of people knew, honestly.
I don't think a lot of people
knew. And nobody wanted to talk about it. And
I just
would be curious to know.
Yeah. That's a really interesting question because I would really just like, can I just ask you about like one game and you can tell me actually how much money you made off of it?
Mm.
Like Breath of the Wild. Sold a lot of copies, right?
Yeah.
Like, just give me the actual, like, life to date, how much money did you make on that game?
Right.
Like, that would be an interesting thing to know.
Yeah.
What else do I want to know?
You've got nothing right now.
I don't really many questions.
I would like to hear some stories of like pre-video game Nintendo. Because it's like that this era now is becoming fairly well documented.
Yeah.
The video game era Nintendo. But like what? You know, tell me about like, you know, 1910s.
Oh gosh.
Nintendo. Tell me about that. Tell me some stories. Like who are the key players? Who would I need to know? What was going on?
Mm-hmm.
I just love it to be so fascinating to find out.
It's a long company history.
Clearly, we won't find out in a Nintendo museum.
No. It's very long company history. That's for. Yeah, yeah. I want to know, like, what was, like, the in his eyes, like, let's say this person is, like, Mr. Furukawa or something. Like, what is the worst thing that ever happened at Nintendo? Like, what was the thing that was, like, oh, that was the worst, you know, time frame in our company history? Like, what was it?
Yeah.
It's a long company, so it's been through a lot of ups and downs. Like, what is actually, like, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened? And what was that impact? Was it bad because, like, it made people not care about the Nintendo brand? Or was it bad because it lost the company, like, tons and tons of money and they almost went out of business? Or, like, what was it about it that, like, made it really terrible?
Yeah.
That would be interesting because, I mean, yeah, there's definitely... We definitely knew some of that, but also there is some of it that's very, like, kind of glossed over to not make you freak out, you
right,
know?
Right,
like,
right.
We all heard during the Wii U days, like, it's not going well, but, like, how bad was it?
Yeah.
You know? No one got laid off, so it couldn't have been that bad.
True.
Right?
My last one is kind of an offshoot of that. It's like, just tell me a deep, dark secret from the company.
It's a deep, dark secret, yeah.
Yeah, tell me, like, and, like, the company is good at kind of, like, staying out of that kind of drama. Like, we have heard stories of things like that, and
yeah.
It's like, we'll be keeping those to ourselves.
I mean, everybody has skeletons in their closet, you know? So I'm sure that Nintendo has a few themselves as well. So, yeah.
Any others?
No.
Record Rumble is next. Hey, Kit and Krista, what are your top five special edition Nintendo consoles of all time and all generations?
Oh, I really like the Pikachu N64,
which
you have gotten for me as a gift. Thank you very much.
It's a nice one.
It's a really nice one. I just like how you can press the foot. That's the best part. You got to press the foot.
Press the foot, yes.
Press the foot. I will insert a video of me pressing the foot. Very cute.
You're promising a lot of things that are going into this video
now. I'm remembering. Pikachu N64. And
what's the other thing?
The merch, the David Hellman
artwork. David Hellman, yes.
I got it
good.
In my head.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to forget, like, in 5 minutes. Oh, no, guys. Guys, don't be mad. I really like, as you guys all know, the Fire Emblem 3DS XL.
This is on your list?
Yes.
Why, though?
It's so beautiful.
I mean, it's fine.
No, it's not fine. It's beautiful. What do you know? You're not classy.
I guess nothing.
I also really like the Animal Crossing Nintendo Switch.
The one you have?
Yes.
Okay.
With the
white dog.
With the white dog. With the design on the dog and the cute, like, pastel-y Joy-Con.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah.
How many is that? That's three.
That's your three.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, you have five.
Five.
You go up to five.
What else?
One on mine that might be on yours was also the Animal Crossing 3DS XL.
Oh, that's a nice one. The one my dog destroyed?
The one that just has the, like, you know,
the print.
Pattern, the print
the,
of all
the iconic
different,
print.
Yeah, all of that.
I like that one.
That one's really good.
That one's really cute.
I will always cape for the liquid metal slime.
Oh, you do
Nintendo
like liquid metal slime.
2DS that kind of like it has some like height
three dimension
to it. It's like
to
popping
it.
Out of the system. That one's great.
Yes.
Also, do you remember the very limited edition Labo Switch?
Who cares about that?
That one that was like, how many did they make? Was it? Did they
it's
make
like
only
three.
One? Oh, I held one of those in my hand. I
the
was like,
cardboard Switch? It was like encased in cardboard.
No, it was textured in a way that it felt like cardboard.
Yeah.
But it didn't actually have cardboard on it.
Right. It wasn't actually made out of cardboard.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That would be bad.
It just looked and felt like it was.
Oh, there was also the crystallized Wii that we did for like an event.
Well, that's like a custom thing.
That was a
thing.
Custom thing.
What was that for?
It was for Smash, I believe. We did a Smash crystallized
Didn't
Wii.
They give, like, Nintendo UK give something to, like, the Queen that was
There's
encased in jewels
encased
or
jewels.
Something?
Yeah.
What was
something
that?
About being encased in jewels.
I don't know if I want that one, but...
It's cool looking, though.
It's interesting.
It was, like, a company that did that. Like, they'll encase anything in crystals for you. You can just give them something they'll encase in crystals.
Okay.
That was really cool. That looked... It was, like, a Smash ball, I remember, encased... But it was all, like, Swarovski crystals. It's pretty cool.
I'm racking my brain for any others. I mean, a lot of these are just kind of run of the mill.
Yeah, none of them are. I mean, there's some different colorways that we like. Like, I really like the Spice GameCube controller. Yeah.
It's not really a special edition.
No. I haven't really gotten into, like, except for the Animal Crossing Switch, I haven't gotten any other special edition Switch. So I just had normal Switch, gray, Animal Crossing Switch, and then OLED. But, like, a lot of people have the Tears of the Kingdom one. They really like that one.
Yeah.
Our good friend Sean, who was on the podcast, like, was like, I couldn't resist. I had to buy the Zelda. You know, I love the Joy-Con. Like, a lot of people like that one. So, yeah.
I want them to go above and beyond. That's what the Pikachu one, that liquid metal, those have that in common. So
you gotta press the foot.
It's like a special mold.
Yeah, it's a different mold.
Of this system.
Yes,
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try harder. Oh. Last question is from Miles. Hi, Kit and Krista, you brought up the DS November 21st anniversary. I've noticed that for some reason a lot of Nintendo products have released on November 21st, like a lot, including some launches that you guys worked on. Is there a specific reason for this? I understand that a late November release date is a pretty good holiday window, but why specifically the 21st? I can't think of any other date that has had this many launches, and then you can read the list yourself here.
Wow, look at that long
list.
There's
like 20 things here that are, these are big... deals.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, they all came out on November 21st. So what's the deal with that?
Well, it is definitely a key holiday date. It is like the week before Thanksgiving.
Your last chance to get something out before Black Friday.
Your last chance to get something out to get on people's Christmas shopping list. So you'll notice how a lot of these games here too that came out, especially the ones later in the 2000s that came out on November 21st, are all sort of the not super like niche games. Like you're launching Super Mario 3D World on November 21st because Nintendo knows like there's a really big audience that might be wanting that game or playing that game.
That you can also add to that list. The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, came out on the same day.
That's right.
Famously. Mario 3D World. I had forgotten that Smash for Wii U and Amiibo and Pokemon came out the same day. That's equally as bad. Two years straight.
Wow. Ouch
just,
for us.
Just dump it all.
That is the last chance you have, really, before people's minds like really shift
away. The company has changed over the years the day of the week that it releases products.
Yeah.
So like it was Friday for a while, it was Thursday.
Then it was Thursday.
And I remember like when I had started, it was coming out on the weekend.
It was Saturday.
So I think that's why like there's been so many over the years.
Right.
It's like there have just been a lot of opportunities for something to come out on a November 21st because they keep changing the day that something
Now
releases.
It's normally on Thursdays and they have the digital stuff go up obviously like
Wednesday night for
9 p.m. for us.
But yeah, it really is that simple of just like that's how big the Black Friday bump is, and you know you'll do what you can to get it out.
Yeah.
And
Nintendo of America is the biggest market too, so that is probably a reason that they're aligning with like a U.S. holiday as well, a U.S. holiday season. And you can see it. But Pokemon games are another one that's like a huge audience, a huge. Broad audience. It's not just like a core game, core gamer audience. So those are the games that are getting the prized November 21st slot because you wouldn't put any game there. You put your biggest game there.
Speaking of our Patreon folks, we did a poll for them because I really wanted to follow up on this discussion that we were having last week about the Game Awards and just the big conversation that was happening around Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree being nominated for Game of the Year. That's a DLC for that game. And I want to do a poll for how our community felt about this. So we put that poll out. It says, should DLC be eligible for Game of the Year? Overwhelming.
Oof.
I was surprised at this.
I'm a little surprised too.
81% says no. Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Obviously 19% said yes.
Okay.
Are you surprised at this outcome?
I am very surprised.
I'm a little surprised
I thought it was going to be more balanced. I didn't think it was going to be such a blowout for the no side.
Yes.
Interesting.
Let's read some comments and then I want to hear where you fall on this.
Yes.
Katie says no, and it should especially not be nominated in the Best Art Direction category because it's the same art direction as the base game, which already won Best Art Direction in 2022. I think there just needs to be a category for best DLC or expansion, or games that keep getting expansions should be confined to the best ongoing game category. But I'm also not mad about it and could be persuaded otherwise.
What a great balanced answer, Katie.
That's really good.
You're so unlike everybody else on the internet, yes. And I love it for that.
K120N64 says, I've been back and forth on it, like I kind of object for the Game of the Year category specifically, but not for other categories. Which makes me think, well, why single the one big category out? If the Game of the Year is DLC or a remake, then actually that shows what the industry is prioritizing and what the community is engaging with. I think including DLC and faithful remakes is actually just us being more honest about what we're playing and talking about.
Okay.
Interesting. And finally, YU says, I started out on the side of no, but the more I thought about it, I started shifting to yes. If the goal of the Game Awards is to find and give praise to the best gaming experiences in a given year, and a DLC expansion fits that bill, then so be it. I don't think experiences should be disqualified for having a different method of distribution. Now, I do wish they were more transparent about the rules and voting process, because I think part of the reason this was so poorly received is because of how it looks on the outside to the more conspiratorial and cynical folks.
Mm. Yes.
Now.
I am on the side of yes, actually.
Should be eligible.
And actually for largely the same reasons as what YU has pointed out. I agree that, you know, if we're prioritizing the best experience, mm-hmm. the best gaming experience, that shouldn't be limited to how that experience was distributed to you.
Right.
This expansion also is very unlike. I mean, I think the term DLC is a very broad term. Like, there's so many kinds of DLC. Like, you can have DLC where you have, like, 5 new costumes. Or you can have DLC that is what this is, which is almost a game in of itself. Like, the scope of it is so much deeper than, you know, you typically think in a DLC.
Well, the case in the other direction is you need to basically play through base Elden Ring.
True.
To get access to it.
True.
And then it's not, like, completely changing. It's kind of like more Elden Ring versus right. like a different Elden Ring. And I think the argument is like, well, Elden Ring got Game of the Year in 2022. So is this just more like, yeah, we still love Elden Ring versus mm-hmm. like, does this stand alone as its own thing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I sort of leaned yes, actually, as well. But I don't know, reading some of these arguments, like I might be coming, I don't know. Like, so first of all, I don't think Shadow of the Erdtree is going to win.
Yeah.
And I also think we pointed out when we were doing our predictions, it was tough to find a full 6 games that felt like properly Game of the Year-ish.
It really was. You can come up with 4 pretty
yeah.
easily.
And I think...
But those other 2 were pretty tough.
And I suspect the judges kind of felt that same way, which kind of maybe led them like, well, what else was there? And like, what else did I really enjoy playing this year? So...
It's a weird year.
We've talked about how, like, well, you know, don't put indie games in these categories because they can stand with everything else. It's like, well, are we just kind of taking down some of these barriers and like, categorizations that we have? So, I think it would be a real stretch for this to actually win, but I wasn't, like, upset
that
or,
it was
like, or shocked that it got... I was like, oh, okay, Jeff's kind of tweaking the rules.
Right. I do agree, though, that the rules should be more clear. And they should really.
I think that's what we keep coming back to.
Yeah, we keep coming back to that. There needs to be more transparency in what the criteria actually is. I think if you just share that with people, they would be much more amenable to, you know, things getting nominated. I think people just automatically come to a conclusion of like, well, this has got to be some, you know, nefarious. Someone got bought off for this, you know. But that's not the case. I don't think.
It's just.
But because you don't know, your mind tends to wander towards the you know, the negative.
Which exactly.
I don't think he's doing himself any favors keeping everything kind of cloak and dagger, you know. But
it is there, but you really have to dig to find it.
And like, it's also a little bit hard to understand.
It is.
Yeah. So make it very, you know, be transparent.
Like, yeah.
Make it easy for people to understand how you're coming to these conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
I was not mad about this being nominated. I think it's fine. I don't think it's going to win. But, you know, this is a full, deep experience that is, you know, a significant, you know, amount of game that you're
getting. And you know this because you finished it.
Well, now we're going to talk about games we're playing. I have some.
You're going back?
Some big updates.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can't wait to get to that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I got some big news for you, mister.
Wow. Well, that's what's coming up next. We have another sponsor to shout out before, though. This episode is sponsored by Turtle Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what it felt to open up your very first headset? The joy, the thrill of plugging it in, stepping into a whole immersive world, and give somebody that same experience all over with the Turtle Beach Generation 3 Stealth 700 headset.
You should, because this headset rocks.
The very headset that we use.
Yes, daily.
Daily.
Daily, yeah.
And love daily.
I love this headset. Again, I cannot have really imagined a more comfortable headset. It definitely, like, looks big.
That point you made about earrings.
I have earrings on my head.
That was a very excellent comment by you.
It's true. Sometimes it really hurts when your ears are, when the earring, the back of the earring is stabbing you in the neck. You probably don't want that when you're playing games for like 5 hours plus. You want a very comfortable headset that feels like light and doesn't hurt your ears, doesn't hurt your head, has amazing sound quality, easy to set up.
Connect to anything.
Again, we will be getting to this. I recently got myself a PlayStation Portal, connected this thing to the Portal.
That's nice.
Oh, I'm walking around.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing all sorts of, guys, it changed my life.
You need to look where you're going.
I okay. do need to, I need to be careful. I do fall down a lot. I have dropped my Switch. I don't want to drop this thing. It's too pretty. I've been going room to room, headphones, Portal. It's so good.
Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Good.
Turtle Beach is doing a Cyber Monday sale. You can save on their most popular products. You know, one other thing I'll say about this is the battery life is so good.
So good.
80 hours. Mm-hmm. And it also has this, like, quick charging feature where, like, if you do happen to be getting near the end, you know, sometimes I can, like, submarine your whole night. It's like,
I wanted to use this so
I could crank the music on this game, and now I'm going to be sitting here for an hour waiting for this thing to charge. Like, you can just charge it for a little bit, and, like, you are good to go.
Yes.
It's, like, really, really nice.
Really nice. And sometimes I forget, like, because the battery life is so good, I forget to charge it.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to charge it. And the quick charging feature is awesome.
Turtle Beach does more than just headsets. They've got all sorts of gaming accessories that you should check out. So get the ultimate immersive gaming experience with Turtle Beach today. For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com to get access to their site-wide holiday sale. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Save big and don't delay. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach.
Yes. We'll put the link over here in the description. Scan the QR code. Get your discounts.
All right. So games we're playing is also gizmos we got. You got a PlayStation Portal.
I did. I'm so happy.
And I've been waiting to hear about it. You've been like, wait for the podcast. I'm going to tell you then.
So tell me. Go away. I am so in love with the PlayStation Portal. What took me so long? I'm such like one of those people that like to play like in different rooms of my house. Yeah. You know, like I definitely like to play on my big screen. But sometimes on a Sunday morning, I just want to stay in bed.
Sure.
And I want to play in bed.
Sure.
You know, which is why I love the Switch. Because you can do that. And, you know, sometimes, like, someone else is using the living room for something. Gotta go somewhere else. So it is so, so nice. And there's also, like, games. And, we were just talking about Elden Ring. Like, there's also games where, like, I want to play more. But I feel like I can play more if I'm playing on a handheld almost.
Yes.
Because you're, like, monopolizing the entire living room. And it's just me, like, grinding this boss, you know?
Yeah.
It's not super exciting. And I kind of, like, want to have something, some TV on the background. Put that Gilmore Girls on. Get the Elden Ring on the Portal.
Yes.
Grind that boss battle. So I, like, found myself going back to a lot more games this weekend because of the Portal. Like, I was telling you, I was playing Astrobot. I was actually playing Astrobot because I was like, I'm going to test out this, how this... the Wi-Fi is working.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see, because Astrobot, you really need to like precise, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to see if it was like working from all the rooms of my house. And I was like, at first I was just like testing it out and then I was just like sucked into it. So I played a ton more Astrobot this weekend. Then I jumped into Shadow of the Erdtree, which I had left behind over the summer when I went on like a long vacation. And it was like kind of nice to just like curl up and kind of like explore a little bit and do it in a more like bite-sized way, which I feel like I can do more on a handheld. Totally. And then we're going to be talking about this. We were playing Black Myth Wukong this weekend. I played it on my big screen, and I also played it on my Portal. Just the ease of like switching back and forth. I really like it. It was so worth it.
Now I want to ask you some questions. So it looks, the screen size compared to like a Switch OLED looks a little bit bigger.
It's bigger.
It is bigger.
It's quite like, it's probably like at least 25% bigger, I would
say.
Wow,
that's big. Okay.
I was surprised. Like when I unboxed it, I was surprised at how big the screen is. The screen is nice.
And you got a screen protector.
I did.
Okay, good.
I did.
And does it come with any sort of a case?
No case. I have to buy a case for
it. Do you have one yet?
Not yet. I was gingerly putting it on my shelf.
Because you haven't really left the house with it yet.
I'm probably not going. Unless
you're on a trip.
If I'm on a trip,
you'll definitely want to bring it then, right?
Yeah, then I'll need a case. It's definitely not as not portable like the Switch. Because
it's big.
The control, the grips or whatever. Yeah. It's not like a Joy-Con where it's like flat, right? Yeah. It has like the, you know, it looks like a controller.
You see what I've been dealing with traveling with a Steam Deck, where it's like I'm literally putting a brick in my backpack.
It is quite large. It's like big. The case would have to be like really thick.
Now, can you tell any difference touching and feeling this controller versus a DualSense?
No. The controller feels just like a DualSense. It is like super, super nice. Like I haven't, like I'm picky because I really like the DualSense. And I was like very nervous about like whether or not this was gonna be different or feel weird or if like gripping it like this would be cumbersome and like tiring.
Yeah.
But no, I really like it.
And do you get through the remote play the same feed like when you're playing on a main controller?
Yeah, it's the same.
It doesn't feel nice.
The only thing is, you know how that the PlayStation DualSense controller has that like little panel in the middle? That's like a touch panel. So they obviously doesn't have that.
Back touch? Vita back touch?
No, because that would be awful. Can you imagine how much you would accidentally touch it? It would be horrible.
I'm joking.
So you basically have to touch the screen.
Yeah.
And then two little like boxes appear on your screen.
Yeah.
And that becomes your touchpad.
That's kind of like what you're doing.
So you can move it around like a cursor like you do on that thing.
Yeah.
Or you can click it. Because, you know, Elden Ring, the map, is that button.
Sure.
So you actually really need it. Or else you're like, how do I press that to open the map? So that was one thing. I was like, wait, how do I do this?
Yeah.
I had to like.
So what is that? Like when you boot this up, like what is the interface? Is it just like connect to the PlayStation? Like,
yeah.
Is there any other like front end to this thing?
No.
No.
So super slick. Like when I set it up, it was like log in with your PlayStation account.
Sure.
So I did that. And then it was like, in my PS app, it was like, okay, your remote play device has been added. And then it was like, do you want to connect to the console that you had like on your account? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, yes. And then it just connected. That was it.
Nice.
And so then when you turn it on, it has like the screen that's like connecting to your console. And you can see your console turn on because you put it in.
Right.
You just put your console in sleep mode, right? And then, or like rest mode or whatever. And then it does a little thing and it's like ready to play. And then you click OK or X, and then you're just mirrors your screen, and that's it. It's
nice.
Super fast. It's
nice,
like, I was surprised because I was like talking to Camille, who has this thing, who convinced me to get it. She's like, some parts of my house, it doesn't connect well.
Oh, sure. You got a little dead zone for your Wi-Fi.
She has upstairs and downstairs. She's like, when I go way upstairs.
Does she have the mesh, the little mesh connectors?
I don't know. Maybe.
Do you have those? Like boost your signal?
My house is pretty small.
I have those. I've got pretty good coverage.
You have upstairs, downstairs, though. I only have one floor.
Okay.
So I think she was saying like upstairs, like in the corner of her bedroom.
Sure.
She has a trouble with the connection.
Right.
But important to me is like I need to be able to play this in bed. So I was like immediately in the bed. Like, can I play this? It was fine. No issues. No issues at all. And I used to play remotely on my laptop and that was fine.
Yeah.
But this is really nice.
Going back and forth with the controller, it's like syncing the controller to these different things, got a little cumbersome.
And also, you can't lay down with a laptop still.
What is battery life on this? That's my last question.
Really good.
Good. Okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I played all night, pretty much, like for at least 3 to 4 hours, if not more, and it didn't even go down like one bip.
Nice.
So it's good.
They started that beta where you can stream games.
Yeah.
You're not in that PlayStation Plus tier. They put too much stuff on that PlayStation Plus tier. It's annoying.
I went down to the basic tier because I was like, this is dumb. I'm not spending money on this anymore.
When I was trying to get this Stellar Blade demo, which was gone and replaced with a game trial, which is basically a demo for high-tier PlayStation Plus.
I don't
know what the point of that is. I just bought the game.
I'd rather buy the game at this point.
I bought the game
honestly.
Like a sucker.
I'd rather buy the game. But yes, I am loving this thing.
Nice.
I can't believe it took me this long to get it. It's not that expensive. It's only like $200. It's really not that bad, you know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I had a feeling you would really like it. And again, I almost bought one, but for me, like I can do it through the Steam Deck and get basically the exact same thing. So I have I have no need for another.
You don't have a need for
little gizmo. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's great.
I really like it. I think it's
yes.
It's like a good decision for me to have this. So
Black Myth Wukong, though.
Oh my gosh! So Black Myth Wukong.
Since this is coming up in so many Game of the Year lists, we thought this game came out this summer, and neither of us played it.
Yeah.
So we got to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did, and I haven't played much, I played maybe like 5-ish hours at most.
Same, me
at
too.
At most.
I think I'm probably the same area you are, probably.
Thoughts?
I love it.
Oh.
I think it's, this is like my childhood fairy tale.
I do want to talk about this.
I love this. I didn't think that I would have such almost like an emotional reaction to it.
Oh my gosh.
But like, it really just transported me back. My mom used to read me these stories, like bedtime stories, every night. You know, this is I feel like every Chinese kid grew up with the story of Sun Wukong, which is Wukong, right? The Monkey King. But yeah, it's like, there's so many games about like Greek mythology and like Western fairy tales and things like that. So it's kind of cool to see like, a game like this that's getting so much, you know, acclaim that's based on Chinese folklore and fairy tales. So I really was like, and there were so many things that were coming back to me as I was playing, especially in that beginning cutscene that you see where it like kind of sets up the, you know, what's going on with this character. And you're like, oh my gosh, I totally remember. There was like a cartoon that I used to watch. I wonder if I can find it on YouTube, actually.
Would you say like, this is one of the most ubiquitous stories like in Chinese
100%.
Culture? 100%. Because even I read it. In school, I read kind of like, I think I was in maybe like 6th or 7th grade. Like I read a version that was kind of like acclimated to that age.
Right.
I have gotten like a more like a longer one. I remember there's all these like movies. Like there was like a Stephen Chow movie that was like more funny. There's others that are more serious.
There's cartoons.
There's so many adaptations of this.
Like manga, comic books. There really is a lot of, this is basically like, you know, these stories are like the Chinese equivalent of like Grimm's fairy tales,
right.
I would say. It's like very much like, every kid grows up with this. There's images of this character everywhere. You see it in everyone. It's very recognizable. I'm playing the game in Chinese as well.
I am too.
It's so cool.
I really need bigger subtitles though.
Oh, I
don't know Chinese and the subtitles are so small and the text is like really the wrong color. It bleeds into things. I'm like, I can't say what they're saying.
This is like ancient Chinese though. It's it's not like, you know, like your normal speaking. This is like this Shakespearean Chinese basically.
Oh,
so it's like,
that's
that was, have it the heavens, blah, blah. And like, I only know like maybe 60%.
Wow.
I watch a lot of like Chinese drama. So that helps with that kind of like language because it is very different and the vocabulary is like really hard, but I'm learning. So that's good. I love watching or like listening to Chinese and reading English subtitles because there are words that I learned too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool, but it's like, it's really cool to play it in Chinese and it's fun to like, you know, see the, you know, the art style is very much like a Chinese painting, like those old like calligraphy paintings.
It really
it's
is.
A really beautiful game, honestly.
It is. It's a really great looking game. And I that was where my mind went as well. Of like you see those like scrolls of like the mountains with the fog and like this first area of the game looks exactly like that.
Yeah. China really has places that look like that. So it is like
Are there real world? Maybe you haven't played far enough.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd heard that when this game came out, it like boosted like domestic tourism within China. Like, oh, this place is like shown in the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of those temples that exist. Yeah. Like the Guanyin Temple isn't a real place. You know, like that Guanyin is like one of the like the bigger, more popular Chinese gods.
Yeah.
And that's also very, you know, there's a lot of temples there. And I think there's a region that they might be in that's, you know, like very, that has that look where it's like the mountains and the pine trees. And like you kind of have the sort of the mountains that kind of you're in the top of the mountain, like that kind of feel.
Right.
But yeah, beyond like it being really cool that it's a game based in China and based on Chinese mythology and folklore, the gameplay is actually really fun. I like it a lot so far. It has like an Elden Ring feel to it. It's very much
Soulsy.
Very Soulsy, yeah. Where you kind of, you know, putz around and try to level up a bit.
Right. Up
your stats.
I guess it's not exactly a Souls though, because like those like kind of rank and file enemies, like in like
those like games, one like, hit, yeah,
they will kill you.
These rank and file enemies are pretty easy.
You can take them out pretty easy.
Yeah. Even at your like really base level, like we both have not played very far, I don't think. Right.
Yeah.
I beat the first like proper two kind of main boss-ish.
Which was the last boss you did?
The big furry white dog guy.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're at exactly like the same spot.
Yeah,
that was where I stopped,
I had a really hard time with the boss before.
Me
that.
Too. That was much harder. And
yes!
And then I did that fox thing, like, first try.
Yes!
So
the first boss, I was, like, really failing. Like, I probably tried, like, a good 15 times.
This is a difficulty spike here.
Yeah, and but you do get, like, an upgrade after that, which is probably why that second boss was easier.
Right.
So
you can transform into these other... was that guy, like, a wolf?
I got the wolf mask.
You have like a spell where you can transform into him and do his attacks. I was wailing on that.
Oh, I lit that fox on fire. Yeah. That thing was just like running around on fire. And then it was just like down to like one pip and I was like, boop.
Right. Yeah, the combat system, and again, like part of the reason I wanted to see this was like I had watched some videos, just straight gameplay videos by the time this game came out. Because like, do I want to get this? Do I not? And I decided not. I was like, it just looks pretty, like, standard to me. But now that I play it more, like, there is a lot more depth to the combat that was just not apparent in watching those. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's different stances. You're always using, like, a staff.
Yes,
but there's different staffs.
The classic Wukong weapon.
There's different staffs that you can get.
Yes.
There's a lot of kind of staggering between like the light and heavy attacks, like charging up heavy attacks and when to use those.
And also when you start to get like more points and level up, you can like augment those. Like I've now added some stats for like I can run and charge at the same time. I can I can use my light attacks to lengthen the spell of another thing. So it kind of stacks in a way.
The game, I don't think it does the best job of explaining all of that depth.
No.
I watched some I think maybe the localization in general is maybe slightly lacking.
Oh yeah.
In general, because there's some things where it's like it's just phrased a little awkwardly, or it's like I'm not sure exactly what this is saying.
Yeah.
But the whole like the usage of the strong attacks is a little bit different than a lot of these games, where like there's like a whole meter that you need to charge up to properly use those. And I don't recall the game really telling you that.
No,
I had to watch. I watched some of these videos. Like, I learned a lot watching this video.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing. I was like, wait. I feel like I'm missing something here.
Yeah.
And there was like there's like a bit of like a learning curve for sure on like how you best combo these things because or else you're not doing any damage at all. But it was a little bit like. There is no really an explanation at all. There's not even a map in this game. There is no map.
I really wish there was a map at times.
You wish there was a mini map, but there isn't.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of wandering around.
So that's another thing that I was surprised at playing it because that was one of the criticisms was like this game is very linear and you're just kind of like going down a corridor to your next boss. And I haven't found that to be the case at all.
Maybe I just keep getting lost, but it's not linear for me.
Because, this last area that we were in was just kind of like a big forest.
Yeah.
And it had boundaries, but there was a lot of different ways to go and
there
little pathways.
There was some mini bosses too. There was like that one guy that was really hard that I tried
to
take down.
I don't really understand that criticism. That has not been my experience.
Yeah. Not yet. It's only 5 hours, but who knows? Maybe it gets more linear as we get
Did you get to that big guy?
That's the guy I'm talking about. That guy was hard.
You fought him.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Oh, I just ran past him.
I tried to fight him.
So you've not
died.
Defeated that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has an explodey thing.
I don't think you're supposed to be able to beat him at this point.
I don't think you're supposed to beat him at this point.
I was really like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't get past this guy. And then I was like, wait, I can just run by.
Wait, it's the other way. It's the other way. Yeah, it's the other way. I tried to beat him, and I was like, oh, I'm too weak.
Yeah.
is not going to work.
That guy seems very strong.
Yeah. Very interesting enemy designs. Like, also based on, like, sort of mythology
and
stuff.
So, again, I'd read that book a while ago and seen some of those movies, but I had completely forgotten a lot of the lore, so I was like reading up on that.
It is very deep lore,
and it's unlike a lot of other lore of like why these things, these animals basically became humanoid. What's the word of that? There's some special word for that I'm blanking on, of them like almost like evolving before your eyes.
Right.
That's really interesting. So
yeah,
I've been pleasantly surprised by it. You know, I really just got it to get a handle on it for Game of the Year, and there's a lot of games that we're juggling to get that down, but I really do want to keep going with it.
I do. It's really beautiful.
Yes.
I'm like really drawn in by
it is.
By the art
style. What graphics setting are you playing on?
Performance.
For frame rate.
Yes,
me too. I always
do frame rate. Yeah.
They had a third option that was like between performance and
graphics,
and I haven't tried that one out, but I've been very
happy. This game, you need the frames.
I've been very happy with this option.
Yeah, you like need every frame.
I don't know.
You need the frames to dodge. Every frame counts. I really like it, and I've been loving it on my Portal, too, because I played a little bit on my big screen just to see the beautiful like cutscene and graphics. And I was like, it was like literally like watching a Chinese movie. And then I was like, I'm gonna play this on my handheld for a bit. And it worked great. No issues, even with a very high action game like this. Like, it played great.
Yes.
So,
what are the last games for Game of the Year that you need to check out?
I need to do Stellar Blade as well.
How are you gonna do that?
I'm gonna buy it.
Oh.
How else am I gonna do it?
You should maybe just upgrade and do this game trial and then try this Portal streaming for like a month. So how much of that are you actually going to finish this?
That's a good idea.
And then just downgrade. Just for 1 month.
That's a good idea.
Maybe you should just do that.
Okay. That's not a bad idea.
Because I've been buying these physical games. You don't have the PlayStation.
I don't have a disc
drive. I would love to just hand this back between the two of us, but we can't.
We can't.
We cannot.
We can't.
That's
we can't even share. We have to like pay for it.
Right.
It's so sad.
So I got Stellar Blade as well. I need to check that out.
Yeah.
I have the Granblue Fantasy Relink.
Oh, you're going
to
play that one.
Which is mostly due to the Shark Among Men. One of our great Patreon subscribers and Discord mods.
Okay.
And that's like his Game of the Year by a huge long shot.
All right.
Anton Blast.
That's not out yet.
By the skin of its teeth.
Yeah.
After that,
I've
been very intrigued by this My Sims.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many people on our Discord who are like talking about it, playing it, loving it. And they're like, oh, this is the most nostalgic game for me. It's like, I really have no recollection of it. It looked like
shovelware. I wasn't really like a Sims person,
were you?
It
looked like shovelware to me. Well, there's the Sims, and then this is like the weird
Animal
little
Crossing
like
Sims.
Chibi fake
cute
Sims.
Cute Sims.
But I guess there's a big community around
Where are we playing this game?
Just,
Switch?
It's on Switch. It's the number one game on the eShop right now.
Who can we get this game from?
It's Electronic Arts. So probably nobody.
Kind of interested a little bit though.
Well, Animal Crossing-y.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's one for you to check out.
That's why I'm interested.
I'm not sure.
Infinity Nikki coming on December 5th.
Right.
I'm really excited about
Infinity. Wow, there's some games. A lot of these games are going down to the wire.
That's cool. I got time.
Yeah.
I got time now. Yeah.
Brief check-in on Mario and Luigi Brothership.
Oh my gosh. You really talked me off a ledge this weekend.
I don't know what you were doing with
this
game.
Really like, I don't know why I felt the need to finish this game this week.
You were like marathoning this game.
I was trying to like marathon it because I was nervous. Then I realized it's not December yet. It's not time.
This is our December spoiler cast game.
It's not time for the spoiler cast.
So there's no rush.
I need to calm down. And you were like, you need to take a break from this. Like, you seem miserable.
Seem stressed out.
And stressed, and you seem to hate your life.
It's like you were trying to meet an embargo deadline.
Yeah, I was.
It's like you were reviewing a game on a deadline.
But it was a manufactured deadline.
There was nothing, yeah.
So you were like, why don't you go play some other games, and you can be a happier person overall. And I did, then I was like, oh, I feel so much better. I started playing Black Myth Wukong. I'm like, oh, my life is good again. Thank God. It doesn't do the game justice, too, for me to try to play it like that.
Are you really close to the end though?
I hope so. I think so.
This is why I would hate to have to review games.
No more than that.
That seems
terrible.
So bad to always be under the gun to get it done in time.
It makes you hate the game.
It really does. Like
five
out of 10 is very understandable.
Yeah, if you're
like,
trying to slog it, that game has some issues.
Especially like some of these companies give these games so late, you have to like just pull an all-nighter basically.
I can't do it. That's too hard.
I wouldn't want to.
It would ruin it. But I am very, very close to the end, I believe.
How many hours?
It's been 34 hours.
You're at 34 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many hours are you at?
I'm at 25 hours.
Okay, so you got 10-ish, maybe 12 more hours to go. Yes. I don't know. Maybe I'll just save it for the spoiler cast. I have so many thoughts and feelings about this game. This is like, every day I think about this game, like a lot. And I'm like, wow.
Oh.
I have a lot of thoughts. I really do. And I feel like you and I continue to have very different opinions.
I'm still having a great time with this game.
About this game.
So I don't know. I do know. People say this is about to fall off a cliff. So I want to see for myself. Yeah. I'm going down the Niagara Falls in that barrel with this game.
I'm free falling out, people. I am free falling, and it's not
like,
fun.
Like Tom Petty,
like
we're free falling.
Tom Petty. Oh, I love that song. We're free falling. It's not as joyous as a Tom Petty song. Things are looking
no.
a little dicey.
Oh, no.
Okay? So, yeah, I will save it for the spoiler, because I'm going to finish the game when yes. I take a little, when I come back from...
Yeah.
Giving it a break. I want to sit with it for a little bit because I think there are moments where I have not given it a fair shot because I'm personally frustrated. So I will sit with it until like I cool off a little bit on it, and then hopefully at that point I'll be able to have like a nice discussion for the spoiler cast.
Yeah.
Because I think that is what's fair for
this
game.
Good idea. Good idea.
Yeah. Right now though. Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing? I haven't had a chance to get back to Dragon Quest in a substantial way. I also need to get back to that.
Yeah, I want to play that game next, actually. Jeez. I need to get on that one.
Well, let's wrap this up with the news. And wow, some PlayStation Portal adjacent. We actually got two big PlayStation stories to start this off.
Yeah.
So the first one, this came out last night from old Bloomberg. Another bombshell from Bloomberg.
I know.
Talking about how Sony is in the very early stages of developing a new portable console that would be able to play PS5 games. And they go on to say that they talk about the Portal and say that that was originally going to be a device like this that could actually, you know, not just stream games, but play them, have the
yeah.
guts to actually play it. But they decided to go in this direction. And, you know, Bloomberg... I think people need to know, like they pointed out, like this is super early.
Yeah.
This product could get killed at some point. Like,
right,
this isn't like guaranteed. This isn't coming out next year. It sounds like it's still many, many
years away.
Especially yeah. if the plan is for it to play PS5 games. That's really,
right.
it's a really powerful system.
Yeah.
I could see this like when the PS6 is becoming a thing. Like
mm-hmm.
maybe this is like, oh, and we have this handheld
yeah.
that's kind of, you know,
a step under.
Barely a step under, but maybe there's some way to do some... Across, it's too early to even
right,
speculate.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be...
About that.
It doesn't seem like it's far along in yeah. terms of like the concept of it, and it doesn't seem like it's far along in terms of timing. So,
right.
yeah.
Do you want Sony to get back into having handhelds?
I do. I like handhelds.
So the handheld space now is interesting, where it used to be the handheld was its own thing, it was its own ecosystem, the games for that were just for that.
Yeah.
But now it's just, you know, with the Switch, it's like...
Yeah. Combined.
I'm playing the same thing, but I'm playing it in my hand. Maybe it's not as powerful, but it's the same game.
Right.
This idea of like this whole defined handheld ecosystem is kind of no longer.
Right.
What do you think this is?
I mean, the problem with when developers, publishers used to have two streams, like a handheld stream and a home console or like console stream, is that it makes it really hard. I mean, we live that. It makes it super hard to develop for. It makes it super hard for you to give attention to both. It kind of splits you in
yeah.
a way, and it's really dangerous, actually. It could be like really, really difficult to maintain that. Sony has a hard enough time maintaining one thing.
Yeah,
so.
Especially if they're saying this is a PS5 level system.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be real easy to get carried away.
Exactly.
On something like that.
And then you're making what? Like really, really super expensive long games for a handheld? Like that seems rough, you know?
So I think
seems
that's,
rough to,
I think that's a big
yeah.
question that they need to figure out is like,
right.
what is this? What is the purpose of this? And the other thought that I had on this was, you know, things are going to get harder for Nintendo in this Switch 2 generation. There's going to be a lot more competition. Like they made it through this generation without having like a major head-to-head
mm-hmm.
competitor. It's like there's all the Steam Deck and all of those kind of Steam Deck-y kind of things.
Yeah.
I still don't see them
as
like
the direct competitor
where
yeah.
it's like nobody's getting like a 9-year-old a Steam Deck in most cases. You know, it's not the like for everybody solution. It's still
yeah.
like a very kind of a niche audience that is going
it's
after.
It's very expensive,
it's too. It's also, like, mostly, like, these are not necessarily, some of them are, but you're not, like, going into, you know, a Walmart.
And buying a Steam Deck.
And buying that the same way you're buying a Switch and buying all these Switch games. But if in a few years we have a situation where Xbox has a handheld, Sony has a handheld, now you're in that red ocean.
Back to the red ocean.
And it's getting dicey.
Back in the red.
Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, Nintendo's has a really far, they're like, if you're running a race in terms of handhelds, they're really like, they're laps away.
How so,
Microsoft
though? How so?
And PlayStation.
Because we don't know what any of these things are.
Yeah, but they've
got the games. That's what they got the games. And they got
and
the
they
IP.
They have the unique thing about it being both Nintendo. Microsoft and
we don't
Sony
know what
can.
These are.
But Nintendo's been doing it for 8 years longer than what they than any of these people.
They can catch up fast.
That's true.
So I don't know.
Mr. Iwata used to say that all the time. Like, don't be lulled into a false sense of security about how far ahead you are, because they can catch up fast.
So, you know, strategically, when they're thinking of Switch 2, they could be like, well, nobody's really challenged us, so yeah, let's just do more of the same and do it better and bigger, and we'll be great. And it's like, are you? I don't know. I mean, Switch 2 will be fine. Like, they have those games, the IP, those developers, like nobody else has.
Right.
It'll be great, but it's going to be harder this time.
Well, it's going to be harder for a lot of reasons, but yeah, if Microsoft and Sony enter the market with their own handhelds, it's going to be 10 times harder. But it's already going to be harder. It's never going to be as easy as Switch, you know, for Nintendo. It's going to be exponentially harder. And then if their competitors are directly competitors again, they've had 8 years of bliss where they were not really directly competing with anybody, then it's going to be hard. But at least they have some expertise in this area. They understand, like, how people are perceiving this idea of this dual handheld console style gaming. Like, they understand that better than Sony and Microsoft. They you know, if they get into this, they're gonna have to, like, start from square one and learn that about their own audience and learn if their audience, like, likes this and wants this. So I don't know.
I think they do. I don't know. I guess I feel a little bit differently about that curve. Like, I feel like that's easy.
You think it's a no-brainer that every Xbox fan that owns a home console Xbox can go for the handheld?
I didn't say that.
Then what did you say?
Well, you're talking about how they have 8 years of making games on a hybrid system.
Right. And they have
It's the same games they would have been making. Like, that's how you can just port a Wii U game to a Switch. It's basically the same thing. And it just runs on a smaller screen. So they have experience making all sorts of devices, gadgets, gizmos. We got a Zune. Remember the Zune?
I do remember.
Bring back, call it the Zune.
Call the Microsoft handheld the Zune?
Please.
Oh, gosh.
I would enjoy that.
Hilarious. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting if it becomes direct competitors.
I mean, I'm surprised that it went
this long?
This long. Because, like, look at that. When the Wii came out, look how quickly Kinect came out, how quickly they had PlayStation move to capitalize and totally just hammer that into the ground.
Nobody wanted that.
Like, this is a much more beneficial thing, being able to have flexibility in how you play. So I don't think this form factor is going to get, you know, tired or anything.
No, I think people just want the choice.
But people will have way more choices.
People want choices, though.
Yeah.
So for the consumer, it's a good thing. For us, it's a good thing. Then we'll have lots of different choices.
Next Sony story. Sony is in negotiations to buy From Software's parent company, Kadokawa.
Yes, they are.
And this has been acknowledged by Kadokawa. They have said that an initial letter of intent to acquire the company's shares has been given from Sony, but no decision has been made. And they've also said, if there are any facts that should be announced in the future, we will make an announcement in a timely and appropriate manner.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Kadokawa is not a household name, at least here, but they are a big media company. Mm-hmm. So they own FromSoft. They own our friends, Spike Chunsoft. They have Acquire, developers of Mario and Luigi Brothership. And they also have this other kind of big, like, anime publishing division as well, which I've seen a lot of people pointing out, like, that's actually really attractive for Sony.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, Sony's got so many things going on. Yeah. So this would be a bombshell-ish move if it happened. How do you feel about it?
Whoa, that's a big one for them. That's a big one for them.
That would be big.
Yeah.
Although I've heard people point out also, like, they're, like what would this deal cost? And the price is surprisingly low.
Like, really?
Compared to something like an Activision where they paid like Activision. $70 billion.
This is going
to
be like...
This was, I think this was in like the millions? Single-digit billions.
Oh, single-digit billions.
Yeah, it was a lot, but like when you think of everything you're getting, it's like, oh...
That's how much it's worth?
Sounds like a bargain.
FromSoft? Really?
Well, it's more than it's all this stuff.
I know, but that
and
like,
FromSoft.
Yeah.
And then as a result of this, the Bandai Namco stock tanked because they've obviously got all these publishing deals on the FromSoft
right.
games.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that, and the Dragon Ball stuff too.
Well, Dragon Ball's got nothing to do with this.
Dragon Ball Sparkling Zero is one of the games that...
Well, they're the developer.
Yeah.
Spike Chunsoft is the developer of yeah. Dragon Ball Sparkling yeah. Zero. Wow, yeah. I mean... This seems like one of those things where this is, you know, where the consolidation is not in everybody's best interest. Because this, look, Microsoft had to put on a friendly face. Like, we're still going to make it available for everybody. We're not
I feel like Sony's not going to do that. So,
yeah, that's not.
They're 100% going to be like, everything is exclusive.
That's not what Sony does.
Everything right. is exclusive. See you later.
That's the whole point of doing this.
Right. They also already own, like, a bunch of anime manga publishing houses, like Crunchyroll and Funimation. So they're just going to add to that list
oh,
of
true.
Things.
That's true.
So all they own all the mangas?
Wow.
I wonder, okay.
I absolutely don't know anything about this, but like, you know how there's laws in the United States to
yeah.
prevent
monopolies?
The yeah. anti-monopoly stuff? Like, right. what is the case for that
like,
in Japan? Maybe an informed listener can leave a comment, because I certainly don't know.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder if it's going to go through.
I mean, they said they're talking about it. Like, this is not like, this is beyond a rumor. There's something happening here. There's smoke.
Oh, we have received the initial letter
yes.
of intent to acquire the company's shares. Wow.
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 Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Last news story here. Star Wars Outlaws. Remember
that?
Ubisoft went and made a big overture about how we're going to change this game. We have this roadmap to do all of these updates. And they have finished that now. The final update came out last week. And... I'd been playing this game in the months prior, and I put the game on hold because it's like, well, why should I play it now if they're going to make all these big changes? And I was curious to see what the big change was, and this final update is all about the big point of feedback that they were getting with the stealth
yeah.
in the game.
Which you did not like.
I was loving the game until I got to this first big mission, and it was a stealth mission,
right.
and if you got spotted, it was failure.
Instant fail.
Mission fail. It's like, what? Why can't I just like shoot my way out of this? So that's what they've done. They've adjusted all of these stealth segments
good.
To be, yeah, you can still do it stealthy. And I think they've added a lot of indicators to let you know like when you're in a stealthy, like in a safe place, stealth-wise.
Right.
But if you get caught, it's a shootout.
Great.
So, which
just
is
going guns blazing.
Which
then.
Is honestly what I thought it should have been.
Yeah.
I have not gone back to this to try it. Like I don't know like
how deep,
like how, how balanced that is. Like, are you just immediately getting blown away because you're in a really compromised position? I don't know. I imagine that was hard for them to do, but I'm just glad that now you have the option because you just feel so powerless and it's just like, oh, this is a bad year for stealth.
This is Listen, something that everyone needs to take note of.
Learn this the hard way.
Don't do this in
Brothership's
a
got some of this stuff too. That's silly.
It's silly.
In 2024, don't do this.
Don't do this.
Don't do this.
This forced stealth instant fail.
It's a
really bad experience
yes.
for players. I get what you're doing. You want them to prioritize the stealth. Look, I get it. But to have it be this way, and then to have that just that reload happen over and over again, it's like such a bad, it takes you completely out of the game. And it's a really bad
experience. It just takes you back
experience.
To like 1998, you know?
1998 was pretty good, but not for the
like,
spore stealth.
Here's their quote from the creative director. Our first step in expanding player choice is removing forced stealth from almost all quest objectives. This doesn't mean that sneaking is no longer a viable or even preferable option in some cases. Rather, if you're caught while sneaking, the objective will not fail and reset you to the last checkpoint. Instead, you'll seamlessly transition into combat.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I just don't know how this got through all the checks along the way to releasing.
Where how did
was
it
like,
get through on Mario and Luigi?
Where nobody's like, hey, this sucks.
Hey, this sucks.
This game's pretty good except for this thing. Like... Can we not do this?
Right.
I would have raised my hand.
All games that have this, I would have 100%. Yeah. Like, I love stealth. I play a lot of stealth games.
I was having a really good time until I got to that. I was like, wait.
But the idea of the forced stealth instant fail. Like,
I couldn't believe it.
It just can't. It can't be a thing that exists in 2024.
So I will go back to this. I've been really waiting for this.
Yeah.
I left off right outside of Jabba's palace, which is so exciting. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, now you can go back in. There's no force stealth. You can just shoot out.
And there's
out.
No more. So this is the big thing, but I looked at the patch notes. It was like pages and pages.
Okay, so they really improved other
like
stuff.
A lot of it is more like smaller things, but there were a lot of tweaks that they made. So I want to see like how much of that is noticeable. Obviously, this is noticeable right away, but how many of those other things am I going to notice?
I like it.
I think it's great.
I think that's great that they actually fixed it. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Wow, that's the news. More news than I thought we would have on a Thanksgiving holiday week.
Yeah, got a lot. I mean, there's countries that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, so I suppose Japan is like, here, buy this company, whatever.
French people working on a Star Wars game.
Japanese people acquiring, becoming monopolies. Yes. Okay, awesome.
Before we wrap up, shouting out some Patreon community members, want to say you can do Patreon gifting now.
Oh yeah.
You can gift a membership to our Patreon, to a friend, a family member, whoever. Mm-hmm. You can go to patreon.com/kitandkrista/gift.
Yes.
Pick your tier, pick how many months, and gift away.
Give it to somebody.
This holiday season.
Yeah. If you join the Patreon, you do get tons of benefits like early access. There's a lot of bonus exclusive content.
That's right.
That's where all the juicy stuff is happening, guys, okay? And you get to be part of our amazing Patreon community that's filled with people like David Hellman and the wonderful people like Ross who
send actual luminaries.
Not us. Luminaries. No. It's a great place to be, so please join us on patreon.com/kitandkrista. All right. Shall we shout out some wonderful community members?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll start with our final boss, Aaron Hash.
Happy Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Aaron Hash.
Yes. Superstars, Ben Eichhorn.
Mario Mayhem.
Eigenverse.
Kiss My Flapjack.
Mike Chin.
Roy Eschke.
Switching It Up, _.
VGN Live.
Link, the Hero of Winds.
Angela Bycroft and her pig Molly.
Thomas O'Rourke.
Kyle LaBeouf.
Roberto Nieves.
Frederick Ulf Conradson.
Andrew Juhas.
Chili.
Simon.
Krishuri.
Master Discord.
Ash.
AJ Kunlas.
And 40Gig.
Woohoo! And the 1UP Club. Aaron Burgundy.
Ad Cool 2000.
Ali Alejandro.
Astro Dev.
Awesome 46.
Bates.
Ben GB.
Big End Gamer with a Y.
Bookum Dano.
Brad SF56.
Brandon Cavapple.
Brent Dennison.
Brovac Novak.
Bruce Dash.
Cameron.
Chadir.
Chelly Squirrel.
Crispy Saurus.
Christopher Lay.
Captain Alex.
Zeroper 17.
Dallas E.
Dachson.
Doinko.
Dre.
Eccentric Tony.
Echo Ladir.
Elite Peach.
Esparts 50.
Fart Pre 69.
Furband.
Fernie and Jess Forever.
Fox Deploy.
Funky Han.
Garf the Wolf.
Gartooth.
Guilty Phoenix 42.
Handheld Gamer.
Happy Sloth.
I May Have Made a Mistake.
Iris Marin.
Jay Rando.
Jack Hoving.
Jameson Eisenberg.
Jeffrey Hernandez.
Joe Encarnacion.
Jonathan Rowe.
Jordan Collette.
Jordan Hemmerly.
Joshua Clements.
Juju Fruit.
Justin Leminger.
Kawa 2796.
Keith Kwong.
Kevin Delane.
Kilo Kiba.
Chris Sarati Kid.
Christopia Party With Me.
Kyle Gamer Barry Rookie.
Kyle Kretzer.
Lazy Cat for Coffee.
Lex.
Link 9898.
Lil Mikey.
Lit.
Luigi 53.
Lynn.
Macho Potato.
Mad Dog 5981.
Magnificent Easy G and Callie Murray.
Mako 56K.
Mario Man 392.
Marky Man 64.
Maverick Nate.
Mecha Dragon 101.
Megan.
Michael Cravens.
Mikey.
Mr. Ryan 07.
Motomania.
Mr. Andy Pond.
Mr. Beansenden.
MSN Poke Gamer.
Mytran.
Nasir.
Nyef E.
Ninja 11.
Noah Sung.
Pangy.
Patrice Mallet.
Paul.
Paul Gale Network.
Prime Factor.
Prince Charmless.
Pyro Jacques.
Reaver.
Rain Tech.
Random Bystander here.
Record Rumble.
Ryuji Utsuhu Okou.
Riot 1.
Rob.
Romsky 113.
Rocks.
Ryanetta.
Sharif Jackson.
Shinryu.
Schmiggles.
Slowbro.
Snazzle.
Spacey Boot.
Spicy Munchkin.
Steel Citrone.
Pseudo Priest.
Tales of Link.
Tay 120 N64.
Teal Fox 64.
The Keggers.
The Shark of Men.
Thomas Alvarez.
Three Rivers.
Timmy V.
Torcheeks.
Totally Joette.
Travis Torline.
Trajowie.
Tugs Puppy Bear.
Tusku.
Tyler Geis.
Uncle Jungle.
Video Game Stupid.
Vij Michter.
Viridian.
Virtual Bot.
WG Grizzy.
YUYU.
Wicked Davey.
Will Johnson.
Zelgaroth.
Zapatty.
Zero Link.
And Zoid.
Wow. We hope that you guys had a lovely Thanksgiving if you are celebrating Thanksgiving in the U.S.
Hopefully. Next week, is December, which means I will be breaking out the holiday sweatshirts attire. Please look forward to it, as they say.
Will we just be dressing up for a Game of the Year episode again? I think yes.
So I have been looking into some of those other, because I was like, it might be nice to get a new thing this year.
Uh-huh.
Their
limited options?
Their offerings, they do have this Sonic the Hedgehog suit, which is seems to be their big new thing that they're pushing.
Is it holiday Sonic the Hedgehog?
No. Oh. But it's some festive colors. So I don't know. I wasn't super happy with what they had. Mm. So I'm going to keep looking.
Okay. But we should dress up for Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We definitely should.
Yes. What was I saying? Join us on Patreon. That's all.
Socials?
No, you have to do your thing first.
If you're watching this on video, please subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up and leave us a comment. And if you're listening on audio, you can also subscribe, give this podcast a thumbs up, and leave us a written review if you please.
Please.
No, and 5-star review is what you do on the audio. There's no thumbs to give it up to. Stars. Five of them.
5 stars, 1 thumb. Two thumbs.
Hammer those 5 stars.
How many thumbs are there? 1 thumb. 1 thumb, 5 stars.
Yes.
Okay. Socials, though. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads. Blue Sky. Blue Sky is okay.
Every week,
Blue Sky gets a little better for
look
me.
At you. Great.
Engagement is high on Blue Sky. Oh, engagement good. Is very high.
I'm glad to see that.
Wow. You guys, on Blue Sky. Thank you. That's it. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. We'll see you guys later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.